Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How we do it on Fridays.
Come on, abuela. Come on, abuela.
Come on, abuela.
You don't want to sit down, abuela.
Come on, senorita.
That's what I do. I grab the abuelas at the party.
If you can get abuela to dance with you,
oh, yeah.
Everyone else melts.
My trick is, because abuela ain't got but 10 minutes in her. She got a bad ankle.
Right.
Yeah, you don't got to dance all night with abuela.
Solana is in his wheelhouse on Fridays, man. You give me Throwback Thursdays, but, man, Solana rocks it on Fridays.
This is a classic.
This is a classic.
Yeah, this at any party, any Latino party, this is on the playlist.
All right. We're going to go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line, where they are truly steps beyond convenience. Jorge Sedano is heard daily on ESPN Los Angeles. You've seen him on ESPN just about every minute of the day during NBA season, certainly the beginning of it so far. He's on the jump and around the horn, and he's on the sidelines. He's everywhere. And this is 15 Minutes of Heat, by the way. 15 Minutes of Heat brought to you today by BrandsMart USA. Buying the BrandsMart way for the holiday season means the lowest prices and the largest selection of TVs, appliances, mattresses, cell phones, and more. You can visit your local BrandsMart USA store today. Heat are in LA tonight. Take on LeBron, AD, and the Lakers. And I'm guessing Sedano will be there. Will you be there, Sedano?
I will be there, and I also want to credit Crowder with the veteran move of dancing with Abuela because he knows she doesn't have the stamina.
Ooh, George, I know the trick, baby.
I mean, listen, if anybody knows this wheelhouse, it's Crowder.
George, my wife's Cuban, too. Those parties can get exhausting with all that damn dancing. I got to go to get Abuela.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
4 hours?
So you'll be there tonight in L.A.?
I will. I'm going to be there. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So Heat had a nice victory last night in Phoenix. They're 6-2. And the line tonight, I want to talk about the Lakers game in a sec, but I want to talk about the Heat in general first. They're 6-2. Have the Heat exceeded? I asked this, you know, of Brian Geltzeiler this week. Have they exceeded expectations through 8 games? I understand the season is young, but, man, they have looked good. On the games, they look good. A couple of clunkers in there. But on the games they've looked good, they look really good.
Yeah, I mean, look, they should have won that Minnesota game. Right? Yeah. They had that thing. And they just, Andrew Wiggins just went wild, right, at the end. And they kind of blew it a little bit themselves, too. They had some miscues down the stretch. The refs didn't necessarily help them, as we all know. The now infamous new Eric Spoelstra gif that we have going on the internet where he's pointing at each official with both arms. It's great. They could easily be 7-1 just because that was a very winnable game. I think they've been fantastic. I picked them to finish third in the East, and I did that on the jump probably in September. And I almost got laughed out of the room. And I said to them at the time, the guys in the studio, and it wasn't just like the guys on set. I'm talking about the guys behind the scenes, too. And I said, you give Eric Spoelstra a top 15 player, they're going to win 48 games. The last time that Eric had anything close to that was Dwayne in 2016, and they won 48 games. So I think they can push for 50 because if you look at this roster, guys, Jimmy has never had this kind of spacing. Now, granted, it's early. It's a small sample size. But he's getting to the basket with ease. In Philly, in Minnesota, in Chicago, they didn't have the shooting around him that this particular team has, and it's made it really easy. So, yeah, I have been pleasantly surprised because they've even exceeded my expectations to this point. But I absolutely believe that they'll be close to 50 wins and they'll be the 3 seed when it's all said and done.
George, and I'm getting killed on the text line today because yesterday I was talking about, can Jimmy put up 30 in the game? Like, can he consistently do that? Because I've even asked you before, I think when you were in studio last week, about Jimmy just taking over a game offensively, and he shut me up with 30 in the first half. Like, you kind of, you talked about it a second ago. How did that happen? Was it him just getting comfortable, seeing the team around him, and then saying, you know what, now it's my time?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's the roster construction. It's the best that he's been around. And look, man, give Eric a lot of credit. I actually think he's taken a page out of Nick Nurse's handbook. You look at what Toronto did with Kawhi last year. They surrounded him with a lot of shooting. And a guy in Kyle Lowry who, you know, they're not built exactly the same, him and Goran, but they have similar type games. Lowry's a better defender than Goran, but I'm talking about offensively. Now, Goran and Jimmy have played okay together. Jimmy's played better without Goran, but I think Goran's in the perfect spot as a sixth man. So, yeah, I just think he's getting comfortable. He's finding open guys, and he's creating for others too, which is something that has surprised me a little bit. He's been a guy who in his career has averaged about 3.5, maybe 4 assists a game, and he's like at 8 and change right now. I mean, it's been fantastic. So it really is a testament to Spo and Pat and Adam Simon and Andy and all those guys who built this roster.
You know, you talk about Spo and Pat. Jorge Sedano is with us. Everything that they've done has gone right for the Heat, right? So they ask Goran to come off the bench, and he does so willingly, and he's playing out of his mind. And this, I think, is going to be a resurgence for him. Like, he could be sixth man of the year. And then even the way that they handled Dion Waiters, that was a gutsy move to say, okay, you're not going to play. And they didn't know, especially with Jimmy Butler missing the first three games, like, Dion may have been needed. And so that may have been a decision that came back to bite him, but it wasn't. It turns out that it was the perfect decision. And Tyler Hero looks like the perfect draft choice. And, like, it just seems like everything they're doing is working, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think because they're just getting back to basics, right? And
right.
Pat said it recently that he let the culture slip a little bit. And that's no longer going to be the case. You know, you got rid of one malcontent in Hassan Whiteside. And by the way, good God, was he terrible in the first half yesterday. I told someone that's close to Damian Lillard when, you know, in the summer league. I don't know if I told you this story when I was there the last time in August. But I said to them, to this person that's close to Lillard, and I said, yo, what's the deal with that? I know that they're cool and stuff, and, like, they always hung out together when the Heat were in Portland, but does he know what he's getting himself into? And he's like, man, it's not just Damian, it's CJ too. They believe in him. And I'm like, good luck.
They found out last night.
He'll give you 19, yeah, he'll give you 20 and 21 night, but then he's going to give you 5 points and 13 rebounds and pout. And that's going to happen a lot. And that's what you got yesterday. So anyway, they got rid of one malcontent, and they're trying to get rid of another. JJ, on the other hand, as in James Johnson, I think there's more goodwill there. I think that he contributed already once, since he's been back, and I think that they'll need him sporadically. But I think they're actively trying to trade Dion, and I've said this before. I think that they're going to have to attach something to that because they're going to want a veteran role player in return, maybe like a stretch four. I've heard rumblings. I don't know how real this is, but I've heard rumblings that Marvin Williams from Charlotte could be the target, who's perfect. He shoots threes. He plays defense. I know Pat's always liked him. And maybe you attach Derrick Jones Jr. Because let's face it, they're not going to re-sign Derrick Jones Jr. because Adam Simon, the Heat assistant GM, is a wizard at finding all these diamonds in the rough, and he can find the next DJJ.
So, Donald, what's wrong with Hassan? Like, Shaq and Chuck were killing him last night on TNT, but we still act like he's a kid. This man's damn near 30-something years old. Like, what's really wrong with him? He has no consistent post moves. He has a turnover or travels damn near every time he puts the ball on the ground. Like, is Hassan, is he what he is? Can he get any better? What's his problem?
No, he's already way past his ceiling at this point. Like, this is who he is. Like, the Heat got him to play within their structure for a while, but at the end of the day, he's just who he is. And the biggest issue is the 6 inches in between his ears. There's just some guys you can't save when it comes to that stuff. Look, Michael Beasley is as talented, a gifted a basketball player as I've ever seen offensively, but Michael Beasley's biggest issues were the 6 inches between his ears too. The difference was Michael is a much more, I think, likable personality. than even Hassan is. So I can understand why he's gotten more opportunities. And look, he plays, you know, power forward, right? Like he plays on the wing a little bit for a power forward. It was a little different, I think, historically. And he was the number two pick in the draft. You know that, Crowder. In every sport, the number two pick in the draft is going to get a bunch of chances. Like, that's how this works. And Hassan's career was saved by the Heat. And I don't think he ever really came to grips with that. Like, he's always trying to think about someone. He always thinks everyone's out to get him, it feels like. I don't know him like that, but that's just what you hear from people who've been around him for a long time. And by the way, I hear similar things about Deion in a lot of ways. So I just think that those two guys have caused a lot of the strife within the construct of the organization in the locker room and even in the front office. And I think that they've learned from that, and they're moving on from those guys, and that's the smart move.
George Sedano is with us. Heat in L.A. tonight, taking on the Lakers at a 10:30 tip, our time. How much fun is it in L.A. right now with the Lakers? I mean, LeBron is out of his mind.
He is, through eight games, the MVP right now. If you had to vote for somebody, granted, it's only 10% of the season, but he's been fantastic. He's on the revenge tour. And it's funny because that first game against the Clippers, I thought he looked bad. And then after the game, he talked about how he felt rusty. And I had their game, their next game. I did sidelines for their next game, and I interviewed LeBron in the post game. And I asked him, I said, you know, you said you were rusty after the first game. Clearly the rust is worn off. Like, what's been the big difference? And he just said, look, it's familiarity. It's, you know, in the past, it's taken me a little while to kind of get going. I'd started the regimen a lot earlier because obviously I had a lot of time off. And in that first game, you know, I was just a little out of sorts, but all I needed was a few more practices under my belt and get used to playing with guys in, you know, real speed. And, you know, here we are, you know. So that's it. Like, he is ready sooner than he's ever been. And the other thing I've noticed about LeBron, at least early on, he's much more committed on the defensive end than he's been in a very long time. Like, I haven't seen him play defense like this since his second to last season with the Heat when they won the second title, at least in the regular season. And a credit to two people. A credit to Anthony Davis first and foremost, because he said that he would hold LeBron accountable on defense. And so far, so good. Now, do I think it'll last for 82 games? Probably not. But I think that's a testament to him right now. And Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel, we all know, is a good defensive coach. Frank Vogel has been preaching defense since day one, much like Spoelstra did with those Heat, LeBron, Wade, Bosch teams from day one. And they paid dividends. The Lakers, astonishingly, because I thought it was going to be their weakness, if there was one, which was perimeter defense, they have the best defensive rating in the league right now. The Heat are at 4 and the Lakers are at 1.
Is tonight just another game for Bron, or does he still have something out for Pat?
Oh, I think there's a little something on both sides. Don't get it twisted. They may play that down, but once the ball gets tossed up, I think both sides want to get after each other a little bit. I think there is that. I mean, there is a mutual respect on both sides, too. Don't get it twisted. LeBron knows, and he's said this multiple times throughout his career since he's left, he knows what he's going up against when he's playing that team. No matter who's on that roster, they are going to make you work every single night. And now they're a little more talented. Even coming off of back-to-back, I still think the Heat will be competitive, particularly on the defensive end. I'm curious to see how they play on the offensive end after playing last night. They were able to win pretty big, so they got a little rest for some guys later in the game, but probably not enough. But, yeah, like, he knows what's coming after him. And by the way, they know what's coming after them, too. Like, he is clearly primed and ready to roll early this season, as I mentioned earlier.
Does L.A., though, they have, like, LeBron or Lakers fever right now because of this incredible start?
Yeah. Look, I think that little by little, you know, last year I don't think he did a great job of embracing them embracing him and him embracing the
right,
city. Like, I
right.
think there were a lot of weirdness around it. He had, like, one of these events planned early where, you know, he was those pizza places, Blaze Pizza, and then he didn't show up.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was just really strange. He didn't do, like, look, here in L.A., much like there is in every town, like there is in Miami, right? Like, there is, you know, the patriarch of media here in L.A., right? Like, a couple of guys. Like, Jim Hill is the TV guy. He's the Jim Barry, right, of L.A. Like, you do the sit-down with him, right? Like, that's the guy who's been doing TV in this town forever on local TV. And he didn't do that early on. Like, he didn't do a press conference. That's a big thing here. It's Hollywood, you know, like that's a thing. He didn't do that stuff until way later into the season or even after the season. He didn't do a lot of these things that people thought would allow him to kind of, you know, feel like he was part of the city and part of the fabric of the organization. And I always felt like it felt like a gap year for him because I knew that none of these or that very few of these young guys would be on the roster, that they would eventually trade them for a veteran guy, maybe like Anthony Davis. And it just felt all weird. Now, this feels almost like a reboot of sorts. And, yes, I think people have come to embrace him and make and feel like he's more theirs now than he was last year.
Yeah, sure. I think you just nailed it there because I always say, like, I think last year will go down as, like, just this, you know, missing year almost, this missing season that almost never took place, you know, almost like D-Wade when he was in Cleveland or whatever. But I think you're right. He knew that the roster was going to be totally different the following season, and so it's like, why should I waste – the effort and the good graces on something that I know is going to end up, you know, we didn't even make the playoffs, and I'll save it for the, that's why I feel like there's a whole different feeling in LA, but I was curious if there is, and you've said that there is, so yeah, I think.
Yeah, and then, you know, not to mention that the Clippers are good, which is like, okay, 90% of this town are Laker fans. 10% are Clipper fans. But if you want to really piss off Laker fans, the Clippers are, if they're good, that pisses them off. It just drives them insane. They're not even like the redheaded stepchild, the Clippers. They're like the adopted brother you didn't want. And I think that drive, when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and those guys were here and the Lakers were bad at the end of the Kobe years, like that drove Laker fans nuts. And now you've got arguably the two best players in the sport playing in the same city for opposite teams. And, you know, Kawhi's a local guy. Like, there's so many storylines here. LeBron doesn't want to, quote-unquote, embrace that there's a rivalry between the two. Like, there's a lot of stuff, like subplots with those things. So it is a crazy time to be here, for sure.
Yeah, it just makes it fun. All right, there's your 15 minutes of Heat with Jorge Sedano, who's in Los Angeles again. Heat are in L.A. tonight. Take on LeBron and AD and the Lakers. 10:30 tip-off our time. Thank you for making time for us, as always, Sedano.
You got it, guys. And by the way, I got to shout out my guy Crazy Andy and Lori Ann Diaz at the Heat. They sent me a red Heat Culture shirt. I had the black one before, and I sported it out in the city yesterday, and people were giving me the side eye. But I just want to let people know I won't be wearing it for the game tonight. That's
I was
going to
say, if you really
wearing it the day before,
yeah, if you really want to rep the 305, wear it tonight to the Staples Center.
Well, you know, it's dirty now. I'd have to do it in the wash. It's a lot of it's a big profit.
We'll see you, Sedano.
See you, guys.
George Sedano there, 15 minutes of Heat.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.